This is a previously recorded episode.
Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch
and Mike Brennan.
And you are listening to yet another fun-filled episode of the M Squared TechCast here on the PodcastDetroit.com network. Boy, do we have a big show for you today.
Full house.
Absolutely.
Not a seat to spare.
Every chair in this studio is full of experts for you.
What so, more could you ask for?
I don't know. Winning lottery ticket, maybe? I don't know.
So. Put some money in on that, too. What the heck? $300 okay. million?
Yeah, no
I'll
kidding.
Take some. So, on the show today, we have normally Kathleen Norton-Schock, who's probably listening. Hey, Kathleen. We have her fellow diva tech talk professional, Amanda Luan, who's going to be talking about, she runs this publication called Michipreneur.com, and I was reading her outstanding coverage of the Mackinac Policy Conference. I did not get there, so she covered it, so we're going to talk about it. We also have on the show Rachel Downs from Inform, the Vice President of Entrepreneurial Strategies, and she has Justin Hsu with her from ProUp. Did I get that right?
No, it's Justine, Mike.
Justine.
You got my name right, so
right.
Kudos on that
Justine.
One.
I always butcher somebody's name here, don't I? With ProUp.
He usually leaves that to me, actually.
Yeah, I know. What okay. Rochelle thing.
We won't.
So
we won't.
That.
I and, swore we weren't going to go there again.
I know.
I can still reach you.
I'm far away. So, and then we also have with us AT&T, we have the store manager, Chris, and I'm not going to, go ahead, give me that.
Dirks,
thank you.
Oh, that was simple.
I didn't want to have two bad ones. And also with us is Teresa Mask, who does public relations. And they're going to be talking about not only the new S7 Active, which went on sale June 10th, but also an event coming up this week with the Michigan Secretary of State, Ruth Johnson, who is going to be talking about distracted driving and smartphones, bad things, people get hurt, all that jazz.
In our final segment at 3:45, we're going to have Lisa Kiawa, who is a vice provost for enrollment management at my employer, Lawrence Technological University. And she'll be talking about all the stuff going on at Lawrence Tech this summer. But let's get started right away with Amanda. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. So how was Mackinac?
It was a lot of fun. Really good weather, and we got to cover lots of great stories. Couple of great topics I'm sure you talk about all the time, like IoT and what mm-hmm. Michigan should do in that space. And so also here to represent Diva Tech Talk, our podcast. And we did a recent story on this really fabulous IoT entrepreneur named Jing. It's one of our most popular podcasts to date. She's an inventor of a bracelet called L Moon, and it changes. You can change the lights and the colors on the bracelet for your outfit, so you can wear it out and do a ton of really cool stuff. So it was really interesting to hear, you know, one of our recent podcasts. She shared how she actually created an IoT product and made it in China, and all of the tactics and how difficult it is. And then kind of like coming back and watching us try to have this conversation in Michigan and how we can spur that whole industry. So I think that's a couple interesting things we've been covering lately. Have you guys covered IoT and talked about that a lot lately?
A lot. It's like the number one, mobile and IoT and connected vehicles, they're all kind of all weaving together right now.
And IoT kind of scares me a little bit because to me, the Internet of Things is the Internet of Things that can be hacked.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I want anybody else able to look into my refrigerator, you know? I mean, I'm really not sure that's such a good idea. But I did see an ad the other night for a $5,400 refrigerator from Samsung.
What does the refrigerator do?
It takes pictures of what's in it and tells you what food you should buy at the grocery store. That's one of the things it does.
You mean it doesn't just order it directly from Amazon?
I know.
There might be a button to push.
For that price.
And it will probably blackmail you, and you'll have to use use bitcoins to buy it off, right?
Exactly.
You're cheating on your diet. Yep. I see what's in there.
Yeah,
so.
Too much pizza, not enough greens.
Yeah,
okay, gotcha. But you know, I am curious when you say you talk about what Michigan should be doing in the IoT space. So what, you know, what kind of things should we be doing that we aren't doing now? You know, what's
But yeah, so some of the conversations really pointed to some of the success we're seeing on a smaller scale. We have the Seamless Accelerator out in Grand Rapids, and Rick DeVos was there talking about a lot of the collaboration. Corporations are starting to get more interested and work with a lot of the startups, and I think that's huge. I think a lot of folks were also talking about some of the difficulties being so manufacturing heavy in the auto world. It moves a lot slower than the tech world, and so there was a lot of discussions on just bringing that awareness to the startups. I think in the podcast, Jing's podcast, we learned she thought it was going to be easy to return to her home in China and make this product. And it was extremely difficult. All of the details and nuances to make this connected bracelet that has a smart computer inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
She actually shared this really interesting story. So she would Uber from plant to plant to try to find someone to make her product. And in the end, she thought she found the right plant. She was having some difficulty getting it made in time. And she ended up talking to the owner of the plant's wife, who said to her, oh, you've been in New York. Can you get my son an internship? And the wife actually helped spur the process for the owner and got him involved. And so she shares all these really good strategies of, you know, maybe you're not getting answers from the plant owners, so go around and make friends with the wives and get them excited about the product. And it was really fascinating. I think one thing entrepreneurs listening should be aware that Michigan has its own ups and downs. And anytime you're going to make a connected product, there's probably a lot more that goes into it than we think.
Mm. So once again, it's about relationships is one thing she discovered, apparently, right? What else struck you as at Mackinac this year? It seemed to be a lot of sort of Rick Snyder trying to, you know, sort of restart his governorship after the whole Flint thing. That seemed to be the political subtext of it. What else struck you about the event this year?
Dan Gilbert was there, so it's always interesting to see him kind of come on stage. And we actually saw him a week before that at Detroit Startup Week.
Yeah.
We broke a record for getting the largest number of attendees out. And it was interesting because Dan was super personable on stage at Startup Week, sharing all this great advice from entrepreneurs. And he was a little bit different at Mackinac. He was a little bit more professional, I would say, like not as open, but he shared a lot about his thoughts for Detroit, how we should be thinking bigger as a city. And I think that message really applies to a lot of entrepreneurs too. Some do think big and some are learning how to really think bigger, like someone of his scale.
There was a lot of talk about Duggan's performance. Were you there for that? Did you see that?
Yes, I saw his speech. It was phenomenal. He's always really great at pointing out the numbers and how they're improving. And I think, you know, I mean, I try to stay out of the politics of everything and focus more on the business entrepreneurship. That's my beat that I'm interested in. But Duggan's done a lot of great stuff for entrepreneurs with Motor City Match, which Bamboo Detroit, my company, is a recipient of. So I think it was really interesting to just see these people come out and give updates. And someone like Mayor Duggan gives really practical insights into what he's doing, and he's very transparent about it.
We should probably mention that is one of her other companies. For a 27-year-old woman, you're quite busy, have lots of things going on, including Bamboo Detroit, right?
Yes.
And how is that going? How goes the co-working wars?
It's lately? Going good. I just left today. We were super busy. We're getting really packed and trying to expand, which is part of why we received the grant. We applied to help get some funding as we grow downtown. And I'm also in the Masters in Forum class, which we meet once a week. And Rachel here is the head of Inforum, so she can tell you guys more about that.
The
but it's
head
super,
master's
super great.
Here. So.
I've got two master class entrepreneurs with me today.
Ooh, hey, cool. All right. We'll get to that in the second segment, yes. Yeah, so.
But, Mike, I actually would like to have my own bell, please,
because
I think it's really strong that Amanda and the Detroit team hosted the most successful inaugural Detroit or Startup Week in the country.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
So we beat out L.A., like New York, Colorado, all of these really big startup communities, and I think that was super awesome. Startup Week was a volunteer, 15 volunteer leaders got together. Myself and Bamboo was a partner as well. And we just threw a week of free events. we got over almost 5,000 people came out.
We just had some big names. All you had was Billy Ford and the president of Chase Bank. I mean, other than that, you know. So
yeah, hardly anybody. Dan Gilbert.
Gilbert, who's that guy, right? Yeah. According to, was it Fortune? I just put that in my own publication. He's the richest man in Michigan with almost $6 billion now.
Oh, wow.
Nice guy to know.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
So. Well, there's a reason that Detroit hustles harder is a maxim.
Yes, there you go. Yeah,
I just my all-time favorite Dan Gilbert line was somebody asked him why he's buying all these buildings in downtown Detroit, and he said it's because they're on sale.
So. Well, it's really interesting. I mean, he goes into more. I think Dan's very motivated by creating a culture, an environment. So he shared with us at Detroit Startup Week that there is a book, and I can probably send the title of it later because I can't think of it right now. But when he was first starting out in business, he read about how you should create a better culture for your people, and that kind of shaped his whole business career. And I think that shapes what he's doing downtown. He wants to build a better culture, a more vibrant downtown area that's going to attract talented people to stay. And we all need that. If we're going to have companies that have employees working for us downtown, we need all of that excitement and that energy.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, I would say that Dan has absolutely, you know, surpassed his original vision for Detroit, in that when he first announced that he was going to be moving his company from Livonia down to the Central Business District, I was still in commercial real estate brokerage. And I think at the time the number was like, we're going to move 3,500 employees downtown. And I was super excited, thinking that was enough to build some critical mass. And when you look at, you know, the sheer numbers of the Rock Ventures companies in combination with Blue Cross Blue Shield, Galaxy Solutions, you know, all the other major stakeholders that have either consolidated their operations downtown or chosen Detroit over other cities in the country.
Yeah, I wonder if Brookings has updated their 2014 number yet, because between 2010 and 2014, they said it was either 16,000 new jobs and 14,000 new residents, or the other way around. I forget which it was, but that was as of 2014, and it seems to only have accelerated since then. I mean, you can't get an apartment down there.
Well, that's why one of those real estate developers just announced they're going to put 1,000 more apartments in downtown.
Yeah.
$2,000 bucks a month, but hey, you know, so
it's no
supply
longer,
and demand.
Or, you know, co-working and other innovative models make it more accessible. So I think we just kind of have to play around with that.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say we've definitely passed the tipping point.
And it needs to spread out now. I mean, that's the next
absolutely
step, right?
You know, and Justine's actually going to be touching on that and the work that she's doing in improving Detroit education.
Cool.
All right. So people may or may not know about Diva Tech Talk. I don't know how they couldn't possibly know, but why don't you tell them a little bit about what that's all about?
We are a podcast on iTunes, sharing stories of fabulous women, all different levels in tech. I like to cover all the entrepreneurs and innovators. That's the story I enjoy telling. But we have everyone from CIOs. We have a CNO at IBM. All of these wonderful women, different levels, doing great things. And you can tune in anytime at Diva Tech Talk. We're also on social media, so you can follow us there.
Okay. And we'll give you one more plug. Bamboo Detroit, if they want to do co-working downtown, take it away. Tell them how to do that.
You can find us online at bamboodetroit.com. We offer affordable, flexible office space right downtown. So right where all of that crazy stuff and energy and everything we were just talking about is happening.
And why bamboo? I always wondered why the name.
Because the bamboo plant grows fast and strong. It's one of the fastest growing, strongest plant. But it takes a few years from a seed to sprout. So it's a good metaphor for a new business, because it takes usually, you know, a little bit of time to get up and going and figure out, you know, what you're doing and hit a market. And
okay.
So it's a good metaphor.
You should locate next to a Panda Express, I think.
Yeah, that would be good.
Sorry.
Any
we'll
updates?
Get one in our new building.
Don't quit your day job, Matt.
Any updates on Rocket Fiber? I know you have an inside deal on that.
I don't have any updates for you there. My boyfriend is one of the founders of Rocket Fiber. They're lighting up, I think they're at 50 buildings now downtown.
Cool.
They're in Midtown. They're getting into New Center. So I think you can go to their website, rockfiber.com, to find out where they're lighting up gigabit internet.
Well, a month from now, you should bring him on the show with you, right? He can give the update.
Yeah, we can get Mark back up on here.
Yeah, he's only been on here once, I think, right? So,
yeah,
okay.
Just one time.
All right. We need to have him back. All right. Well, that will about do it for this segment. We will be right back with Rachel Downs, Vice President of Entrepreneurial Strategies at Inforum, who's going to be talking to Justine Hsu and her website, ProUp.com. But for right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast on the podcast. Yeah, I'm a professional broadcaster on the PodcastDetroit.com network. We'll be right back.
All right. Hey, it's Mike Brennan.
And it's Matt Rausch.
And we're on M Squared TechCast second segment with Rachel Downs, Vice President of Entrepreneurial Strategies at Inforum. And I'm going to get this right, Justine Hsu from ProUp. Yes?
Hey, Mike.
Hi.
Got it. Nailed it. All right.
Congratulations.
It's a rarity.
Yep.
So tell us about, interview your guest. I'm just dying to know more about ProUp.
Well, I'm really excited to have Justine here. In fact, I had invited her to be my inaugural guest when I first started joining you guys on a monthly basis. And when Justine and I connected probably about a year and a half ago, maybe almost two, she was referred to me through one of my Engage Advisory Council members, Paul Reiser, who's the Managing Director of Tech-Based Entrepreneurship at TechTown. Mm-hmm. And he nominated Justine to participate in our masterclass, which is our facilitated peer strategy and support program that really helps emerging second-stage entrepreneurs kind of grapple with the issues of leadership and organizational development. And Justine and I immediately connected because she has such a unique value proposition that really hits home for me. One of the things that we immediately connected on is that her company, and I'm going to let her tell you about ProUp, is really designed, as we were talking in the previous sector or segment, connect companies with the education system. And ProUp is a really unique, I would say, internet platform to facilitate career enrichment opportunities for students and gets them connected to internships, job shadowing opportunities, career enrichment workshops. And it really right now is targeted towards students who wouldn't necessarily have that access. And that's another thing that we talked about is how incredibly important it is to have access and relationships to create success. So with that, Justine, tell us about ProUp.
Thanks, Rachel. So my team and I are counselors who worked in the Detroit public school systems for a number of years. And what we recognized was that our students were really not adequately exposed to the types of meaningful early career experiences that would help them make informed decisions about their futures. For a lot of these students, you know, coming from backgrounds of multi-generational poverty, there just wasn't resources, role models, or capacity within their immediate neighborhoods or schools to help guide them with their career
evolution. So we came up with the idea to match high school students in a really personalized and easy way to summer programs, internships, jobs, job shadows, and a host of other educational and career opportunities so that they could really make more informed decisions about their future careers. And that's what ProUp is. So my team and I started working on this more than 2 years ago in 2014. The first assistance we received was through the Tech Town Summer Accelerator Program DTX launch. Since then, we've been blessed to have received support from amazing organizations like Inforum and the Michigan Women's Foundation. And they really helped us take our idea from concept to prototype to reality. So the most exciting thing is that we actually launched our beta site in January of this year. And for an entrepreneur, I have to say that's one of the most gratifying moments. You know, you spend years and years developing this concept, questioning whether it's going to work, interviewing people in the marketplace. And we now have a live site. We have more than 30 area high schools, primarily in Detroit, but a few in suburban schools in Metro Detroit as well, who are participating in our pilot. And we've actually signed on more than 1,300 students who have access to more than 900 opportunities through our website just in the past 5 months.
Wow, so, that's fantastic.
Thank you. Yeah, so it's been a really exciting time for us. At this stage, we're really focused on, you know, talking with our early users. How can we make the product better? How can we make it even easier, more intuitive? And what's the next step that they would like to see in terms of the functionality of the platform?
You know, when Justine and I first connected, I actually shared with her that I had a kind of dream that I would build a system much like Craigslist for schools that would really allow schools to catalog kind of the needs that could be fulfilled by corporations, companies. I think that when you engage business to support education in a way that allows them to kind of donate their services and expertise in kind, you get a whole new level of engagement and commitment to improving schools. And that is also layered on the fact that I don't think we really kind of fully recognize that business is the end consumer of the education system. And we're really not doing a very good job of providing students with robust career planning and development services. In fact, I'm halfway through my master's program and getting a degree in counseling, and the American School Counseling Association recommends that we provide school counselors to students at an ideal ratio of 1 per 250. And in Michigan, it's 1 per 750.
Oh, my goodness.
That's absolutely right. You know, one of the really neat things that we have on the horizon is a partnership with a STEM foundation in St. Louis. It's called Construction Forum St. Louis. And they came to us more than a year ago and said, hey, we had this idea to build a career portal that would match high school students to employers in the region and connect them to meaningful opportunities and track their development over time. And then somebody told us, hey, you should check out this startup in Detroit called ProUp because they're doing the exact same thing. So they actually flew us to St. Louis a couple months ago. And what was so neat about that conversation was they had a collective of employers and superintendents from, you know, the local school districts there in this conversation. And the dialogue was really around how do we do a better job cultivating student career development, tracking their progress over time. And St. Louis, I think in many ways, their school system faces a lot of the same challenges that we do here in Detroit. There's a lot of segregation, and the inner city schools are really struggling with their graduation rates. And to get some of those students into very high demand fields like STEM and any sort of technology-based industries. So on the horizon is actually ProUp St. Louis. Mm. We are now going to be actually enhancing the product so there's better filtering capability so that students can actually review opportunities that they've participated in. But we're really excited to bring the product to St. Louis because there's a huge base of employers there that are really excited to get involved in education and start to provide more meaningful internships and work shadows, you know, the types of thing that Rachel was talking about that are going to get students exposure earlier on so that they can essentially change the trajectory, you know, that they're on. Because a lot of the times we start to do these things in, you know, college or even late high school. But by then, it's almost really late in the game,
yeah,
you know, as far as some of the skill sets that need to be built up.
That's what my former employer, the Engineering Society, was trying to do with its Future City program for middle school kids.
Right.
The thinking was that you have to get them fifth, sixth grade.
Yeah,
you know?
I absolutely. Mean, that's,
you know.
Not to mention there's
the STEMinista program does the really young girls too, right?
And so we're a partner with the Michigan Science Center. That's exactly, you know, it's when you look at how fast technology is moving today, and there are so many new professions that didn't even exist 3 or 5 years ago, you know, it's like we need to do a much better job of kind of tying the opportunities that exist based on innovation and technology and, mm-hmm. and showcasing them so that kids are inspired to pursue a particular field of study. You know, I always laugh when I think about my own childhood because I wanted to be an orthodontist. And that was based on the fact that I liked teeth and I liked money, which is not really a great foundation for which to build a career trajectory. And my, you know,
remember that song from Little Shop of Horrors? Remember that? You'll be a dentist.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah.
Well, and it wasn't that far fetched. I mean, again, we talk about the power of role models. My
yep.
uncle was an orthodontist,
yep.
and
okay.
my dad owned an orthodontic
yep.
lab. And when I went to work for my dad, literally, when I first graduated from high school, it took me about 3 weeks to realize that
you hated it.
I absolutely
yeah,
hated it.
This wasn't yeah. what you thought it was. Yeah.
And right. you know what? What Rachel's saying is it's spot on. I'll ask students all the time, okay, what do you want to be? And we usually hear the same three careers. And when I ask them why, like, for example, I want to be a pediatrician. Guess what the reason is? Well, I grew up babysitting kids.
Yeah.
So in their mind, that, you know, that's what they link with being a pediatrician.
Right.
Or I want to be an engineer. And why? Well, I like cars. And I say, okay, well, do you like doing math and design? Or do you like actually like fixing the cars? And it's like, no, I like working on the cars. Okay, then you want to be some type of technician.
Right.
But the bottom line is that I think it can be horribly, you know, demoralizing, especially for students who come from underserved communities, are already resource strapped. And then, you know, you get all this excitement around going to college, you make it on the campus, you're investing tens of thousands of dollars into your education. What if, you know, Rachel had waited until she went to orthodontist school? And, you know, by then you're deep in and all your relatives are counting on you. And then you realize, like, oh, this is really not
this.
What I want to
yeah.
do.
Yeah.
I hate this. And, you know, seeing students go through that and come home sort of really confused and like they've really lost their path. It's a tough thing to watch as a counselor. So even if students get into a job shadow and discover that they hate nursing, I feel like we've succeeded.
That's a success.
It's a success because I'd rather you
learn that
find that now
grade.
In
yeah.
the ninth grade
yeah, right.
than wait until you're, you know, you've invested a lot of time and money into your education. And I think no matter where students come from, whether it's an underserved community or a fairly affluent one, this is a phenomenon that we're seeing across the nation. You know, mm-hmm. the ACT says that 63% of juniors who take the ACT pick majors that don't even match their interests or their skills according to their transcripts and their tests. And
going for the money or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they're just, you know yeah. going for the money or that's what they hear about. It's the same three jobs. It's like doctor, engineer, lawyer. And, you know, more than half of high school students report that they've really received inadequate career guidance and exposure. So, you know, we recognize the scope of the problem really is national in mm-hmm. nature. It's not just limited to the inner city.
Let me leap in real quick. So now that you've gone to St. Louis, does that mean like you're doing a franchising model or what are you doing here?
That's a great question. So actually, it's somewhat of a licensing model.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, you know, the Construction Forum St. Louis is paying us an annual fee, and that's going to allow all of the opportunity providing organizations in their region, including employers and nonprofits, to post opportunities through ProUp for free.
Are you looking for angel investors now?
We are. And I'm so glad you asked.
That. Yeah, I had that feeling. You know,
because as entrepreneurs, we got to always just put it out there and mm-hmm. let everybody know our ask. So we are actually seeking to raise a seed round so that we as founders can join the company full time
we are all working, you know, side jobs. I'm actually running another company. And I think it's at that point where we're really be able, we want to take it to the next level. And that takes a full-time commitment.
Well, I happen to know an organization that has 2,000 accredited investors as part of it. Do you know that organization, Rachel?
Mike, I think you got your data mixed up a little bit. But we are we are working to diversify the angel investing community because we recognize that the more women involved in angel investing, the more investment will be made in women-led ventures. And that's actually, you know, I think really important is that we need to diversify the angel investing community here in Michigan to support the entrepreneurial activity that's occurring.
Okay. Well, we have reached the end of this segment, but a terrific one it was. We want to thank our guest, Justine Chu from ProUp.com, and terrific as always, Rachel Downs from Inforum. Thanks for the monthly segment. We'll see you again soon. For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast on the Podcast Detroit.com network.
Thanks, gentlemen.
Thanks.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast, part of the rapidly expanding, burgeoning, one might say, PodcastDetroit.com network.
Over 50 shows now.
Yes, indeed.
Yes. We're in the new... Oh, shit, keep bumping that darn thing. We're in the new studios now where... What do we have, three built out?
We're working to finish up the third one, and then we'll come back and do this one. So.
That's Jessica, our engineer, by the way.
And she runs the studio. Yeah, she's the woman.
She runs our lives on this show. Let me tell you what. So, okay.
Exciting stuff.
This is the gadget section now.
Yes, so we're going to ask you for a little bit of theater of the mind here. I know it's radio, and we're going to be talking about physical objects that look like stuff, but you know, you can see any of this.
Virtual reality. Just put your goggles on. They can just come along with us.
Well,
you know?
And you can visit your nearest AT&T store too.
That's the point.
That's the real point.
Starting on June 10th. That was last Friday for you folks. I don't know what day it is. last Friday.
We don't know what day it is.
I don't even know what hour it is half the time.
Okay.
So they offer the new Galaxy S7 Active, which you can pour water on. You can throw it from 1,000 feet and it won't break.
Yeah,
we have
an AT&T store manager here, Chris Dirks, who's going to tell us about this new phone. So, Chris, what's the deal with this Galaxy S7 Active?
Well, I don't know about 1,000 feet.
Okay, maybe 100 then.
It's shatterproof up to 5 feet. That's what I've tested it at.
In other words, out of your pocket.
I was just testing him to see if he knew. So
So it's the successor to the Galaxy S6 Active, and it was brought back obviously by popular demand, and it is an exclusive to AT&T. A couple big things that they really improved on year over year is, first off, the actual construction of the phone is now made of metal versus plastic like the previous ones. So the body of the phone, the rim of the phone is all metal, obviously.
He's showing it to us. I know you all can see it out there. Just use your imagination.
Use your
you know?
Google it.
Theater of the mind. Yes, right. Okay.
You know, aside from that, they did bring back, Samsung brought back the expandable memory option, which was a really big kind of sore spot, I think, for a lot of Samsung folks. They really like the ability to expand the memory, and so during the S6 line, they removed it, and the S7 line, they brought it back. So that's a really big thing.
And you know, next to it, I see, although you guys out there can't, he's got the goggles, which are VR goggles.
The VR goggles, I brought those to show you guys with the S7 Edge, not Edge. With the Active.
Doesn't work with the Active.
It doesn't work with the Active, at least not as of now. Just the construction of the phone doesn't quite fit inside the brackets, but it is a very cool experience. But I did bring both of them to show, just, you know, a lot of people want to know why would I need to buy this, because the S7 line has waterproof rating as well. They're both IP68, right. You know, rating for waterproof, which means you can submerge it up into 1 meter of water for about 30 minutes.
Okay. That's...
Yeah, I see a commercial on TV. I don't know if it's you guys or not, but some celebrity who I don't know is pouring champagne on the phone. Is that yours?
It's Lil Wayne. But no, that's Samsung's commercial.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Well, it was intriguing.
But you can buy that phone at AT&T.
You can. And exclusively at AT&T, by gosh, you know? So
I mean, tell me how the Oculus goggles work with the phone. How does this work?
Well, the Oculus goggles, first off, you have a compatible phone, either an S6 line or the S7 line, either the Edge or the regular. Mm-hmm. And
the regular works with the two of them.
Yeah. So essentially, you would dock it. Screen facing inwards. There's a micro USB port. You click it into place, and then it automatically powers on. It'll ask you to go through a certain setup process, and then you download the Oculus app, and then on the side of the VR, there's a sensitive touchpad. So,
standard video game style touchpad.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. Okay. So that's how the Gear VR works, and that's a it's talking to me
it's
right
talking
now.
To it's talking to you right now. Yes.
Let's pop that out of there.
We love these machines. They talk to us. So yeah. Like Hal.
So
Hal was a bad machine.
Yes.
So. Can't go there.
No, they lied to him. He went crazy.
Yep.
So wasn't his fault.
Yep.
The S7 Active is one other thing that I would note about that was kind of missed on the previous version is the addition of the fingerprint sensor.
Oh.
So the S6 line had a fingerprint sensor with the exception of the Active, and now the S7 Active has brought it back or added it on. So that's a big feature. Instead of entering in, I know for myself, I need an 8-digit passcode for work.
And all these passwords, I can't keep up with them all.
Tell me about it.
The other ones, the other S7s, do they also have that or just the Active?
They all have that.
Okay.
They all have that. The S7 that I brought, other than the Active, is the S7 Edge.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really beautiful phone, but it's not going to be nearly as durable as an S7 Active, you know, just based on physical construction.
So you can't drop that one from 1,000 feet or anything like that.
No.
Or spill champagne on it.
Yeah.
Actually, this one you can.
You can.
You can spill the champagne.
The S7.
Well, I drink champagne all the time.
But
so
why
perfect.
Would you want to spill it? That's what I said.
I have some. We can test it.
Okay. Oh, okay. Perfect. So I know there's some other stuff you're throwing into this mix here on this big deal, because I saw all the add-ons. You can do this. You can do that. Tell us some of that. What's going on with that?
You mean with the additional products?
Yeah, right. Buy the Active, and you can also get...
Oh, right. So... You know, part of having a great smartphone, a lot of the manufacturers have figured out, is having a great ecosystem to go with that phone. Mm-hmm. So it's not just about having your phone. It's about having virtual reality goggles. Or this is the Samsung. I know, again, we're on the radio, but it's a Gear S2 smartwatch.
It looks really good, folks. I'll tell you that right now. Yep. So I can see it. I'm way across the room.
It's a watch.
Yeah, okay. It's a great
cool
smart
screen.
It's a great smartwatch.
Now, can you, like, is it the wristwatch communicator where you can talk into
sure.
it?
But
no,
you
shit. No, I can't say that. Gosh, that's great.
No barnyard excrement.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm sorry
that's
about
all right.
That.
No, it's okay. You can. You don't actually have to hold it up to your mouth, though. It's smart enough not to. I could be.
Well, that's
talking
the one
like
that
this.
I'm really intrigued by. I like the VR thing. That's cool. But You know, I tried one of those earlier edition smartwatches, and boy, what a loser. I mean, all I could do was get my messages off it, but I couldn't do anything else with it, so it's in a drawer somewhere.
Right. So. This is a lot more advanced than you can do things from, you know, answer phone calls, hang up phone calls, check your email, check your text messages, check your Facebook, get GPS, monitor your heart rate, monitor your steps, control your music. And the app list, you know, keeps expanding, you know, through Samsung. And the best part about right now is when you buy any of the S7 lines, you can get this watch for no charge for the equipment. There's
but
a service charge.
You have to buy a separate line for it, I think, didn't I read?
Yeah, you share the existing data on your plan, and that's $10 a month. But the big reason why, you know, the reason why you'd want to do something like that is this device has its own independent SIM card. And so if I'm
out, so it's a separate device totally.
It's used with our program called Number Sync. And essentially if I'm working out and I don't want to bring my $900 telephone with me, if somebody calls me, regardless if I'm on a Bluetooth range, my watch is still going to ring. So,
okay, that's what the SIM card does for you.
Right,
okay,
yeah, it gives you remote access.
So if we give somebody like a monthly number, but excluding the equipment, obviously it depends on how much they put down, all that sort of thing. But just for the service, if you had the S7 and the watch, you'd be looking at how much, ballpark?
I mean, it would depend on the data usage, obviously, of that person. I mean, I would say comfortably you're probably looking at around before the cost of the equipment, you know, anywhere from $55 to $100, depending on what you want to use, how much data you need.
And then you got deals on the phones where you pay like $30-$40 a month and you buy the phone that way rather than laying out, would you say $800-$900, somewhere in that ballpark?
Yeah, so the phones, you know, they range anywhere from probably $25 a month on up, depending on a couple different variants and which one you get. And they're buy one, get one free right now with if you have an additional line. So there's some
BOGO,
you know, asterisks with that. But
we love BOGO, don't we?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Maybe Matt and I could go in together and BOGO.
Well, you're getting one to use right now. So
I get a tester, folks. This is not a bribe or anything. I don't get to keep it, but I get to test it.
Yeah,
so.
And he will
then I'll
review
report
it.
Back.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Perfect. Hey, we need to shift gears a little bit here. We promised Teresa Mask that she could talk about her event this week.
Thursday night with the Secretary of State, right?
Right.
Okay.
That's exactly right.
Okay. And where will this take place?
We're going to be in Detroit at the Secretary of State Supercenter. That's at 3046 West Grand Boulevard.
Okay. And what time?
11 a.m. is when we will start.
Hi, Lisa Piava from Lawrence.
And we will wrap up about 2 p.m.
All right. And you're looking at what issues will be on this thing?
Well, we're looking at the It Can Wait campaign. So we are encouraging people not to text and drive. So in 2010, AT&T launched It Can Wait. And it's a national campaign to kind of bring awareness to the dangers of texting and driving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really epidemic right now. And just last year, we evolved our campaign because driving distractions have evolved. People are no longer just texting and driving. They are taking selfies. They're checking their email. They're surfing the web. They're posting to Facebook and Twitter. And so it's a really big problem. We want to...
Or they're wearing them VR goggles. God darn it. You can't be driving down the road with them goggles on.
Well, funny that you should mention that because the event actually involved VR goggles.
It's
a virtual reality simulator that the guests will sit in and they will have an experience, a virtual experience on the streets of Dallas, Texas. They will be in the car and they will see what happens
Cowboys
as they text and drive.
Indians probably too, right?
So. Something like that.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, I got to tell you, I see people driving erratically on the road and I can't tell you how many people I see texting just constantly.
Right.
You
know? And driving accidents are up because of it.
And of course, that is against the law in the state, folks. You know, so I can tell
you,
I drive a lot.
You might as well just down a six pack.
Yeah, pretty much.
Geez.
I mean, I drive a lot and I'm following somebody who's weaving and the speed's going up and down and I pass them and sure enough.
Right. And that's one of the reasons why we have the Drive Mode app. It's an app that's preloaded on Android phones, but you can also get it on BlackBerry and iPhone where you can set it so that when you get in the car, it automatically stops your texting once you get to going 15 miles per hour or more. Parents like it because they will be notified when their teens turn off the Drive Mode app.
Oh,
it's just a really good way to
you're
to
grounded,
curb
right?
That.
Yeah. So,
yeah,
I like it.
Yep. Narking on the teenagers.
We're their parents, not their friends. Yes. They keep forgetting that.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. So one last time and location of this event, please.
It's going to be 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. in Detroit at the Detroit Secretary of State Supercenter. That's on Grand Avenue, 3046 West Grand Boulevard.
Okay.
And Chris, I don't know which AT&T store you're in, but now that we've made you famous, people are going to want your autograph. Where can they get your autograph at?
In the Taylor location.
Taylor, give us the address.
23350 Eureka Road.
Is there a separate website for your store or not?
No.
Okay. Can they call you and say, I heard about it on sure. M Squared TechCast, and damn, I want one of them things, right?
Sure. Is that near Southland Mall?
It's within stone's throw.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. So if they want to call you and talk to you and say, gosh, you're that famous guy that was on that show. Can I get one of those phones? They would call what?
You can call my direct line, actually. It would be 734-502-7818.
Okay, I think we're going to have to leave with it. I know Lisa's on the line because I heard her earlier. Yep. So
we'll be back in just a minute with Lisa Kiyawa from Lawrence Tech. But for now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast. It's Matt Rausch, and we're back on the M Squared TechCast. And for a moment there, we had Lisa Kiyawa from Lawrence Tech, but I'm not sure exactly what happened. Okay, so we're going to wait for Lisa to call back in. But I wanted to talk with Lisa about a graduate and transfer student open house coming up at Lawrence Tech here. So I will do that. I also wanted to point out that she's here. Lisa, you back?
Yes, I'm sorry.
No, that's not a problem. So tell us a little bit, Lisa, if you could, please, about this event coming up for graduate and transfer students from Lawrence Tech.
Yes, so this is an event that we've had for several years now, very successful. It is different from a program for incoming freshmen. Why? Because freshmen decide on where they're going to go to college in a different way. Graduate and transfers want to have more of a conversation with someone in the program or the field they're interested in going in. They want their courses evaluated to see what kinds of courses will transfer, and they want to have the ability to kind of research a variety of programs that might be similar that we might offer to give them the opportunity to decide in a very short, brief period of time, is this the right place for them? And this graduate transfer open house does just that. We have hors d'oeuvres, things to drink. It's in a fair setting, but yet an opportunity exists where they can have a one-on-one appointment with any of the directors of the graduate or the directors of the undergraduate programs. So it gives the feel for one-on-one, but at the same time, they can research a variety of things.
Okay, so what programs does this cover? The university's complete course selection, or what programs are emphasized here?
So great question. All programs are emphasized. We have at the graduate level here at the university, there is a director of each of our graduate programs, so they will all be in attendance. And then at the undergraduate level, we will have advisors that have knowledge of the what we call here flow charts in regards to program from A to Z, the entire degree, what the those courses are, how they go in sequence with each other. And we will also have admissions counselors available to be able to review those courses they're bringing in to see what connects them to the degree itself here so they can get an idea of what are they transferring in, how many credits can they transfer in, and what do they have left to take. But then we will also have faculty in the undergraduate programs here for them to talk to them about the different courses they might be interested in, the kind of flow the program has, any opportunities for co-ops or internships. So on both levels, they'll get very meaty kinds of information that they want to know about the program.
So the flow chart is involved, basically involves what courses you take in which order, right?
Exactly. And as you can imagine, being a STEM-focused school, you know, a lot of the flow charts are very that's the word I'm looking for. They're sequential. So like an architecture degree or
very structured, I think, is maybe what you're looking for. You have to take certain things in certain order, right?
Correct. Exactly.
Yeah. What about financial aid?
Financial aid will be there as well to talk to the students about what they've had financial aid-wise at other schools, how they can transfer that to LTU. And at the same time, they will help them with completing the FAFSA or talking to them about the different loans that are available, as well as we have many scholarships for students that come as transfer students and grants for students that come as graduate students. So they'll be able to kind of get a full circle of their needs met in a very short period of time.
Now, I know Lawrence Tech's also been named a military-friendly school. Are there people there with expertise or people returning from the military as well?
Yes. So we are a Yellow Ribbon school, and through our financial aid office and our student accounting office, they work with our veterans. So all the kinds of programs through the GI Bill, through their DD-214. If there's any veterans out there that are coming, bring your DD-214, which is their, in essence, their Army transcript. And we can then review that at the same time we're reviewing their regular transcripts. And we can discuss the aid they had received at the other school that was specific to the fact that they're military. So if they got the GI Bill or some other form of a military grant, then we can ensure that they are focused once they get here. We actually have a military organization, military student organization here, that financial aid, as well as one faculty member mentors, and we do a variety of things with the veterans. So they're very well taken care of when they get here.
All right. So how does this differ from for regular students, you know, like high school students or someone who's not that far out of high school, that you have something called blue and white days for those folks, right? That describe those, if you would.
Yes. And so the difference is transfer students and graduate students, they make a decision about where they're going to go to college in a much faster way than an incoming freshman. So a freshman, in essence, studies show they actually over an 18-month cycle make a decision on where to go as a freshman. Whereas a transfer or a graduate student, it's all about their personal and professional ambition as well as what's happening in their personal and professional life. So those are more shortened, more like could be a month, could be 6 weeks. And so this program gives them, we have this twice, actually three times a year, once before each semester begins, because we know a variety of transfer students like to just come in, bring their transcripts, you know, kind of identify what they're doing, where they're going, get admitted, enroll, and start the semester. So they're not going to take a long time to do that. But they can also do that. Let's say this program, which is July 14th, from 5:30 to 7:30. Let's say, for example, they miss out on that. We have what's also called on-the-spot days, which were open for 8 to 10 hours. They can come in and sit down and do the exact same thing. We'll move them from spot to spot to get that information done. Or they can come in and just have an appointment with an admissions counselor that will equally reach out to one of the advisors and kind of connect things as we go along in the process. But, again, they can do that on a walk-in basis. So our goal here is that we know transfers and grads make decisions quicker, so we want to be able to their whole really issue is they want convenience, they want information, they want specifics on the quickest way they can make a decision on their to move to their next steps. And the graduate transfer open house will help them do that, same with the on-the-spot days and the same with the appointments with admissions counselors.
All right. And basically, a lot of the graduate students are working, right? So they want to know about schedules that can work around their work hours.
Yeah. And they want to, it's a great question, because what they really want to know is, what does convenience mean? For some, that means, what's the delivery mode? Is it online? Is it hybrid? We have found studies here show we have a lot of programs that are hybrid and graduate students like that, because they still want the face-to-face a little bit. They don't need it all the time, but they want it somewhat. But then they want the freedom to be able to go, you know what? I only need to come twice a month versus four times a month, right? So they want to talk about what's the delivery mode. They want to understand the hours of operation that we have here. How does that fit into their schedule? They want to feel comfortable about the faculty that they're going to be engaged with. Because at that level, it truly is about, we try to stress with freshmen, you need to build a relationship. You need to make sure you understand, you know, how you're transitioning into the university. With graduate students and transfer students, it's essential. They already know they're going to build a relationship. They just want to know, who are the people that are the key people I'm always going to go to when I get there? So for them, it's more of an exploration. Is this a really comfortable fit for me that meets basically all my needs? If they're working, is it going to be convenient in regards to the way our online program works, and do they have the skills to do that? And so all these things are helpful to them in building, whether making that decision for the next step on whether to come to LTU or not. And to be honest with you, as you know, what is a long-standing, close to 85 years now, the mission of theory and practice of the Lawrence Brothers, which was to educate people in the theory, but give them that practical application. But at the same time, what was part of that niche? Educating part-time adult students. So still to this day, we're one of the only engineering schools that you can get a mechanical engineering degree in the evening. So there are so many people that, when people talk about theory and practice, what do they really mean? The Lawrence Brothers, you know, perfected that. And so these adults know that we have something to offer in regards to educating part-time adults in a way that not only brings them their degree, but gives them a great experience at the same time.
Hey, Lisa, let me weigh in. This is Mike Brennan. Are the costs the same no matter what the delivery mode is? I mean, do they vary depending on how you get the learning?
So great question. Nice you asked this question, Mike. So online is a little bit more than on ground. But in some cases, students are coming with some tuition reimbursement. For example, if a student is listening out there and they're Automation Alley, if their company's an Automation Alley member, we give those people 30% discount. So there's a way to get some scholarship money, in essence, by doing that. If they're coming to this program, they should really talk to financial aid to see how we can help them. Is there a way? We have a lot of endowed money. That actually is focused, the criteria is adults. Why? Because that's how this institution got started, is educating part-time adult students. So it's really important for these people to know there's monies out there that can actually lower the cost to them.
Hmm. Yeah, I remember when my kids were looking at colleges, there were a lot of very specific, you know, special scholarships that were available for particular kinds of people in particular studies. Right.
Yes,
I mean, and that's
exactly.
That's the same way, you know, with Lawrence Tech. Is it just depends on what your field of study is.
Exactly. Like, we have the Power Engineering Scholarship that's specifically for transfer students, and it's for students who are going into power engineering. So, you know, it's really whether you're a transfer or grad. I always say, we really always say it to freshmen, but it's still the same for transfers and grads, which is to research those private donor scholarships that are out there, because you'd be shocked how many are older women. There's scholarships for older women out there. There's scholarships for people going into STEM degrees that are older. You know, talking to your human resources company to see, are they going to match anything that we might offer you? So all those things, when you come to a program like the Grad or Transfer Open House or an appointment with an admissions counselor, they can begin to kind of lead you in the right direction. So we are trying to get you the best bang for your buck, which we always believe is a Lawrence Tech degree.
All right. So one last time, the time, date, and location of that Grad and Transfer Student Open House.
So the Grad and Transfer Open House is Thursday, July 14th from 5:30 to 7. It's in the UTLC Gallery, and the room number is T for Technology Center, T210. And that's the building. It's the big gray building. It's connecting the architecture building to the engineering building.
Okay.
And we look forward to seeing you there.
All right. Thanks, Lisa Kiawa. You are Assistant Provost for Enrollment Management. Did I get that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I've been there 4 months now. You'd think I would, but I'm glad I did.
You got it right.
Okay. Thanks
Thank
a lot,
you,
Lisa.
You and Mike.
Yep. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Lisa.
Bye-bye.
Boy, what a great show today.
Yeah, we had a little bit of everything.
Yeah, we had a ton of really interesting stuff. We want to thank all of our guests here today. We want to thank Diva Tech Talk professional and all-around entrepreneurial whiz, Amanda Luan.
Does a lot for a woman her age. My daughter's the same age. Not that accomplished, you know.
Okay.
So. But she's not listening,
God,
so I
hope
can
she's
say
not
that.
Listening.
No, she's in Paris,
dead.
So she can't hear me. So.
It is Father's Day on Sunday.
I already got my gift, so I'm good.
Okay. I also want to thank Rachel Downs, Vice President, Entrepreneurial Strategies at Inforum, who interviewed the fascinating Justine Hsu of ProUp.com. Go check out ProUp.com and see how your company can help city youths get better acquainted with professional careers. Also want to thank AT&T Taylor Store Manager Chris Dirks with a ton of really cool gadgets with us, and Teresa Mask, also from AT&T. And then last but not least, Lisa Kiawa from my employer, Lawrence Technological University. And that's our shameless plug bell, folks. And we're done for another week. So until next week at 3 o'clock Eastern Time, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And we hope you will listen then to the M Squared TechCast, proudly part of the PodcastDetroit.com network. See you soon.
Thanks for listening to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Join your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan, next Monday at 3 p.m. If you can't listen live, audio podcasts of the show can be found at podcastdetroit.com.
This is a previously recorded episode.